It starts out well enough. Jesus comes back to his hometown, Nazareth, and visits the synagogue. The neighbors initially welcome him with warm wishes. Jesus reads from the Sabbath scroll, words of the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives." Next, Jesus explains he speaks not simply as a carpenter's son. He has a new mission. Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." With that bold statement, he has their attention now. Perhaps more than annoyed, the villagers utter, "Is not this Joseph's son?" In other words, "Wait a minute. Isn't this the kid we saw growing up in the neighborhood? Now, is he getting too big for his britches?" The kicker comes when Jesus clarifies he is not back in Nazareth simply to perform miracles for local brethren. Instead, he implies he will bless the downtrodden outsiders, the underdogs. Here, the pace picks up so fast, it's about six lines. It's hard to imagine how a director could handle the scene. Full rejection now. They run him out of town. They consider killing him. Right then and there. This conflict between Jesus and the people of his hometown is technically not an Easter narrative. It is, however, a precursor, a foreshadowing of Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. Easter is a story of life coming out of death, hope coming out of despair. And one must remember that Good Friday precedes Easter. To get to resurrection, you have to die or suffer or be rejected. One way Jesus was rejected was by being objectified. "Is not this Joseph's son?" We know, I think, from giving and receiving, we know this kind of hurtful objectification. "Isn't that the guy with the funny accent? Isn't that the woman with the kinky hair? Isn't he from the other side of the tracks? Isn't that the woman who bounces around all the time from waitress job to waitress job? Isn't that the person who can't even hold a steady job?" Sticking somebody in a category or a box can be a first step on the road to spiritual suffocation. Suffering is ubiquitous. I know I don't have to make a list because you know what you yourselves have been through. You know how you or a loved one or a neighbor have suffered to the point of feeling like a part of you has died. The people of Brussels anguish this week over multiple terrorist bombings killing at least 33. On this Easter Sunday, Many congregations are celebrating the literal resurrection of Jesus. And many people who I respect say that if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus, you cannot celebrate Easter. Respectfully, I disagree. Many of us Unitarian Universalists do not believe in or are agnostic about the literal resurrection of Jesus. And it's also true that on Easter, we honor the fact that the Jesus story does not end when he was run out of Dodge or Nazareth. Jesus went on to restore sight to the blind, to destigmatize the lepers, to upend the tables of the greedy money changers at the temple. For standing the social order on its head and proclaiming that the kingdom of God was to be enacted now, he was killed. That's a fact. That's a historic fact. He was killed for all that. We witness resurrection, seeing how Jesus' love transcended his death and saved his followers with courage and hope beyond imagination, beyond belief. If Jesus' resurrection is a myth, if it's a myth, it certainly holds real power and importance. Joseph Campbell taught the powers of myth and reality are intricately interwoven. Myths explore that which is beyond even the concept of reality, that which transcends all thought. Myth gives you a line to connect with that mystery which you are. I'm going to say that again. Myth gives you a line to connect with that mystery which you are. Jesus is the mystery of resurrection. And you are the mystery of resurrection. And we are the mystery of resurrection. With this theological perspective, we believe in resurrection and being born again and again. We believe. Easter stories deserve repeating again and again. Let's go to one of those Easter scenes, St. George's Church in Philadelphia. The year is 1787. Two black ministers, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, have been ordained to support the needs of the black parishioners. In the sanctuary, blacks are supposed to stay up in the balcony. Blacks are supposed to be up in the balcony. Reflecting on the preaching of Isaiah, liberating the oppressed, Reverends Allen and Jones go to the central floor of the main sanctuary and they kneel down to pray. Whites pull them up and put them out. But the two black preachers believe that the fullness of God's blessing has come upon them and their people, and they insist upon acknowledging those blessings by praying on the main floor of the sanctuary. If not in this church, then it's going to be another church. This rising up with spiritual vision and courage was the beginning of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which this year celebrates 200 years since its formal establishment in 1816. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The son of a carpenter touches lepers. Two black ministers in 1787 claim their rightful place as full ministers of the gospel. Easter teaches you do not have to wait for a heavenly chariot to take you away to some far-off land. You can be born into being more fully alive right now. We all have the power to rise up, sustaining love and courage again and again. Easter stories deserve repeating again and again. I experienced resurrection. I, Kent Mathias, once was so depressed and beaten down by alcohol that I wanted to be hospitalized. I could not figure out why no doctors agreed. The days that I cried were better than the days that I did not because I let something out. Folks could have easily rejected me saying, "Isn't this the sad little alcoholic?" But with the help of countless souls and the spirit of life, I stopped drinking. I didn't believe it was possible, but I did. And I not only survived, but I thrived on a spiritual path of gratitude and giving. We believe in Easter. Here's the thing. Nothing supernatural need be involved. Nothing supernatural need be involved. But don't let that fact fool you, because we do not do Easter on our own. You don't do Easter in solitary confinement, spiritually. Jewish theologian Martin Buber talked about the critical I-thou connection. This sacred synergy is essential between humans and the divine. When we turn our relations into I-it, we shut down the connection of the divine. We experience I-thou Easter blessings when people tell us, "You matter to me. You are welcome here." I-thou Easter blessings flow when we say to others, "I am connected to you. I love you." What is your Easter story? What's your Easter story? Make no mistake, Easter is happening right now. Right now, Easter is happening. This week in Brussels, after multiple bombings, courageous people dove into the fray. Hundreds immersed themselves in what were possibly very dangerous conditions to help strangers to safety and medical care. The helpers included an amazing diversity of people, including immigrants from Africa and Muslims, of course. Easter is happening right now. Right now, churches in many cities are working to reduce the epidemic of violence in our country. 8 days ago, here at USG, we commemorated the 285 folks who died from illegal handguns in 2015 in Philadelphia. The T-shirt memorial stood on Lincoln Drive for 2 months. It's now at the First United Methodist Church of Germantown and what was Germantown High School on the Avenue. In Chicago, 135 people have been killed this year. That was the count on Good Friday, 135. in what some call Chirac, my hometown. Churches all over Chicago have declared that today, one day, Easter, no murders. They're trying to make Easter. It's happening right now. My beloved coworker this week, our USG member, Carolyn Scott, lost her dear friend and dog, Piper, died at 15 and a half. Carolyn brought Piper home as a seven-week-old puppy and went all the way to the end. The dog was blind, had tons of problems. There was so much love between them, you could feel it just walking in the room. And I told Carolyn, after Piper died, "You are still Piper's mom, and you are my dear colleague, and you are a beloved member of this church, and you are a child of God with inherent dignity and worth. We surely cannot categorize you in one little box, Carolyn. And in all the diverse glory that you are, Carolyn, you can and will rise again with new poignancy for life's tender mercies and more capacity to love because you have loved and lost and are going to love again. Easter is happening right now. You may think of yourself as this, that, or the other. But the sum total of all your parts transcends trouble with magnificent spirit and heart. Never forget that. Easter invites us all together to actively bring good news to the poor of body and spirit. Easter facilitates the grace of releasing captives from selfishness and fear. Easter involves us all rising again with fierce love and gentle compassion. Blessings be.